Let us turn to the Word of God and the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. And we will read at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When we consider all the upheaval in the world, when we are concerned about wars, when we hear rumors of wars, when we are taken up with our own personal troubles and difficulties, how good it is to know that there is a governor who is in control of all things, and not just over a city or a state, but in control over the whole world. And the government, we read, shall be upon his shoulder. That's what we considered last time. We considered the power of the prince, that he is the mighty God, and that he is able to bear the weight of the rule of his government and administration. He has the responsibility, he is able to bear it. The government shall be upon his shoulder, upon none else. And every burden that we have, we are to cast on him who is able to bear the weight of it. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. He has all wisdom. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His name shall be called the Mighty God. He is not a mere man, though he is one who possesses human nature. And how thankful we should be that the one who possesses humanity and is a man is on the throne of the universe. And he therefore can sympathize with us. And he can also exert his power for our good. He is the Mighty God. And the Everlasting Father, he's a father to his people, he is the shepherd over Israel, and he will never cease to be a father to his people because he is the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. He has made peace by dying on the cross, and he is the author of peace, giving peace to sinners. And the angels hailed his coming and saying, "On earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, this is the one who is the governor, the one who is the king, the one who has dominion and government. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And this is what we seek the Lord's help to consider this evening, verse 7. And we will notice, first of all, the government of Christ. In the second place, the increase of his peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. And in the third place, the establishment of justice. He will establish, or perhaps better, his kingdom will be established in justice and judgment. To order it, that is his realm, his dominion, his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Perhaps on a later occasion we'll consider the words, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." But this evening we look at first the government of Christ, the increase of his peace, and the establishment of justice. And so we begin with the government of Christ. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. So the child and the son that is born and given is no other than the Messiah, the one who is prophesied of, that the virgin would conceive and bear a son and shall call his name, bring forth a child and call his name Emmanuel. That's found in chapter 7. So the Messiah would be born, and he would be the son of David and sit upon his throne. We read about the promise given to David. The promise amounted to this, that David would always have one of his descendants sit upon his throne. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne, David's throne, your throne, David, shall be established forever." And that literally came true when Jesus came and sat upon David's throne. Well, as we read, David believed the promise. He said to the Lord in prayer, "Do as thou hast said." And let me ask you a question tonight. Do you ever pray that way? When you find a promise in the Word of God, do you seek to apply it to yourself and say, "Lord, do as thou hast said for me. Here's a promise. Do as thou hast said in my case." Well, that's how we should pray and plead the promises in the name of Christ, because all the promises are yea and amen in Christ. We can't expect the promises to be fulfilled to us outside of Christ or apart from Christ. It is always in Christ. We must go to Jesus so that the promise may be fulfilled in our case. Well, King Solomon prayed for the fulfillment of this promise that David would always have one of his sons on his throne. King Solomon prayed that, "Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him." God promised to David, saying, "There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me." So God made a promise to David, and here is Solomon praying that God will fulfill that promise. And God did. And that was most manifest when the fulfillment of the promise was about to take place when the angel appeared to Mary, and you know the words that Gabriel spoke to her about Christ. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So the infant that was to be born of Mary would actually sit on the throne of David. God was going to give him the throne of David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Almost repeating the very words of our chapter. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom." So this is the kingdom of David. And Christ's reign, his kingship, is going to continue the reign of David. And Peter understood this. Remember in his first sermon that he preached after the outpouring of the Spirit, when 3,000 were converted, he was speaking of David, and he said, "Therefore, being a prophet," that is, David is a prophet, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Christ would sit on David's throne. So after the centuries passed, from the prophecy of Isaiah, hundreds of years went by, and yes, Zerubbabel came, and there were other good leaders, but we then see a corrupt priesthood, and they're the ones who have authority. Where's the tribe of Judah? At least we could say, where's the leadership from his tribe? Where's the royal power that should be ruling over Israel at that time when Jesus actually came? So it seemed that David's line was like a tree cut down. It was just a stump. But from here, there will be the growth of a righteous branch, as we considered recently. Jesus of Nazareth was raised up to sit on David's throne. From the root of David, from the stem of Jesse, God raised up his son to sit upon the throne of David. And so Christ reigns over the kingdom of David. And after he suffered on the cross and rose again, he sat on the right hand of God, and that was the public coronation of this king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ in heaven, on the throne in heaven, continues the kingdom of David. Think of that. He, we can say, restores the kingdom of David. Both kings, King David and King Jesus, were the head of the same body, the people of God. David was a temporal king, temporal head, in time, temporarily. But Christ is the spiritual head, now and forever, to all eternity. As we read later on, with justice from henceforth even forever, so the kingdom of Christ will continue forever. So here is the kingdom of David, which is the kingdom of Christ. Christ continuing David's reign, sitting on the throne of David. Very interesting to think of that. Our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is on the throne of David. It's the line of David continuing in time to all eternity. That's a wonderful promise given to King David. And David believed it. And he said, Lord, do as thou hast said. And we have seen that God did as he said. He performed his holy word. Well, this is the kingdom of Christ upon the throne of David. And we read about this government, the increase of his government. Well, the word government means dominion or rule. And this government, we said already, as we quoted, is upon his shoulder. He bears the responsibility of it. He exercises the rule and the authority, and he has dominion and rule over all things. This is what faith needs to lay hold of. Do you have faith? Are you believing in Christ? Lay hold of this fact. Jesus bears the government. He has dominion over all things. He has rule, especially, of course, in the hearts of his people. That's where his rule and authority is most manifest, because he has loyal subjects. They are willing to serve him. And that's where we always ought to begin. We can think about unrighteous, unjust wars taking place and bad leadership and people misusing tax dollars and so on. But what about ourselves? Are we subject to the authority and the government of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we concur with his rule? Do we love the fact that he has dominion? And are we willing subjects of his realm? Well, we read about this government of Christ, this kingdom, that it will increase. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Well, in the second place, the increase of his peace. The word increase means abundance. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his rule, in his government, his dominion will expand. It will increase. It will know no bounds. He will have unlimited dominion. And we read, of course, in Psalm 72 that his dominion will be from sea to sea, or from the river to the sea to the river, which is encompassing the whole land that God gave to Abraham. Well, it's speaking about, of course, the kingdom of Christ being inclusive of the whole world. and indeed the whole universe. All power, he said, is given to me in heaven and in earth. So the Lord Jesus Christ has unlimited dominion. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So the reign of Christ is universal, and it's also eternal. And it will continue not only to the end of time, but it will continue to all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal King of his people. And what we find here is that his kingdom is characterized by peace, of the increase of his government and peace. He has a peaceful government. We notice, of course, in the words, the Prince of Peace, that he is the author of peace. He is the author of true well-being and safety. The word peace in the Bible is very comprehensive. It includes almost everything that can make a person happy and blessed. It is bringing before us the idea of fulfillment and completion and true prosperity. The Lord Jesus is the author of real and lasting peace. We know that he secured peace by dying on the cross, and he removed the enmity that stood between God and man so that man may be reconciled to God. God was angry with man. Man deserved God's wrath and curse. But for all those that God had a purpose to save, Jesus came and stood in the middle. He suffered all God's wrath for them so that they may be set free, that there will be no wrath and no curse to all who believe in Jesus. That's the simple gospel. Again, what do you think of the gospel? Is it what it is in itself to you? Is it good news? Do you welcome it? Do you joyfully receive it? Do you love the truth as it is in Jesus, the Savior, called Jesus? His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What think ye of Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus is the one who takes away the enmity, and he turns away the wrath of God. He reconciles God and man, but he also reconciles others. And he sets up his government by peace. He enlarges his dominion in the way of peace. He's not like the leaders of this world, many of them, at least historically, and we still see it today, who established their dominion and their rule by force, and they gain territory to themselves by conflict and bloodshed. The Lord Jesus expands his domain in the way of peace. And that is through the preaching of the word. Preaching is not taking up arms and not taking up weapons of warfare in the way of military conquest, not at all. There is a war, but it's against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But the way that Christ enlarges his government is through preaching peace by Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Peter puts it. So the Lord expands his domain and his dominion by sinners being under the sound of the gospel and being won over by the Spirit, enabling, persuading, and enabling them to believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Yes, it's through the prevalence of peace when converts are made by preaching peace through the blood of the cross. Yes, there are many times terrible consequences when people embrace the rule and authority of Christ while their loved ones reject it. And then there's conflict, and then there's discord. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, "I did not come to send peace, but a sword." He did say that. But that's in the meanwhile. That is while the progress of the kingdom is being made. There's going to be conflict because of people's opposition to the truth. But the end result and the way that it's accomplished is through peace, and it obtains peace. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the efficient peacemaker. He is the author of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He will do many things in a way of peace. For example, reunite the divided house of David so that the northern tribes that are threatening King Ahaz in Judah, that will be done away with. The Lord Jesus will unite all of Israel. And more than that, he will unite Jew and Gentile. The enmity will be taken away by Christ dying on the cross and removing the ceremonial law. But it is not only the absence of hostilities. It's not just the removal of war and opposition. But the Lord Jesus, his kingdom is one of prosperity. Peace involves that fulfillment so that, that there will be widespread welfare and prosperity as opposed to want and sorrow. There will be no lack. The people will be full in his kingdom. He will meet all their needs. He will supply all their wants. Again, the peace is established through the preaching of the word and all the wonderful promises that are proclaimed. For example, Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And above all, the Lord Jesus offers to sinners the bread of life. And his people who have a spiritual appetite, they feed on the bread of life. They feed upon the word of God, which is as wheat. It is spiritually nourishing. And it is that for that reason that the people will flourish in his days. They will flourish. They shall be fat and full of sap and be flourishing. They will prosper spiritually because it's because of the increase of his government and peace, wherein there shall be no end. Well, let us pray for that peace. We shouldn't be excited when there's war and fighting and conflict and think this is the opportunity for Christians to act. We need to be praying for peace. It's the opportunity for Christians to pray. Pray that God himself will rend the heavens and pour out a blessing. And he will come and establish peace on earth through the preaching of the word. We know there will be conflict. We know there will be discord. We know that people will hate the truth and they will never change until the Holy Spirit melts their hearts and breaks their hearts by the hammer of his word. And so that they're humbling themselves before God and they want to come to a Savior because they need him. But let us never forget that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Well, in the third place, let us consider the establishment, the establishing of, and the establishing in the way of justice. To order it, to order his kingdom, and to establish it with judgment and with justice. So the word ordering means to prepare, and to establish means to confirm, to bring the kingdom to a settled state. And that will be in the way of judgment and justice. Now, briefly, the word judgment is simply the word justice. And speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as King, ruling fairly, he will not mistreat anyone. He will stand on the side of the fatherless and the widow, the vulnerable, and everyone will be treated with justice and fairness. And the word justice here is actually the word that is most often translated righteousness. It's the word that is found in the name Melchizedek, righteousness, king of righteousness. So the Lord Jesus will reign with justice and righteousness. His subjects will be assured that his procedure is just and righteous because he is righteous. He is God's righteous servant, a righteous king with a righteous scepter. And the effect of this will be righteousness. So he establishes his kingdom with righteousness, and so his people, his subjects, will be righteous people. That's a practical application we can learn from this, that because of the righteous kingdom of Christ, the people who are in his kingdom will be righteous. And do you love righteousness? Do I love righteousness? The result of his righteous rule will be this: his people, or people in general, will become righteous. And the more they prevail in righteousness, the more they seek righteousness, the more they repent of their sins, for example, the more they're awake and repent and follow after righteousness, the greater will be the peace and the prosperity. Because the kingdom of Christ is established in righteousness, and he proceeds in the way of righteousness, so he works through the means of righteousness. The basis and the means by which his kingdom enlarges is righteousness, peace, and righteousness. And remember, Melchizedek, he is called King of Salem, which is King of Peace, and King of Righteousness. So it's through peace and righteousness that the kingdom is increased. And so, friends, we are to seek righteousness. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth." Those who are meek are peaceful, peacemakers. "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment." You're righteous. You desire righteousness. And so he says, seek righteousness. Seek meekness. "It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." Of course, every believer will be hid from the wrath of God. No one, not one of God's people, will suffer God's wrath. But what is meant there, I believe, is the temporal manifestations of God's displeasure in the way of judgments and afflictions in the world. You seek meekness, you seek righteousness, and you may be spared of all the general temporal calamities that are in the world. God loves his people. He will protect them. Sometimes they will suffer with the rest of the people who have brought God's judgments upon them, but very often the Lord protects his people from the general calamities. And we know that the Lord Jesus is the King, and his eye is upon his people, and he will spare the poor and needy and those who have no help of man at all. Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in man? Or is your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings? Well, seek meekness, seek righteousness. No one ever prospered in sin. Don't fret because of those who are getting on in the world through evil. God says in his word that those who do the will of God abide forever. And we are in the kingdom of Christ if we are following after righteousness. And let us pray for our nation and all the nations of the earth, because it's only in a way of righteousness that they will prosper. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. Well, the next time, the Lord willing, we will consider the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, because God is jealous of his own honor. He will vindicate his Son, and he will be glorified by the expansion of his kingdom. So let us pray from the heart earnestly, "Thy kingdom come," because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in conclusion, I have to ask one more time, whose side are we on? We ask the children, who is going to win, Jesus or Satan? We all know the answer. Jesus will win. So whose side should we be on? On the side of Christ. Well then, whose side are you on? Jesus says, come to me. Join my ranks. Come. And we need to come by the new birth and by believing in Jesus. Well, your prayer should be, as it was with David, the king. King David prayed, Psalm 51, verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. DeBoer, would you pray?
The hosts, the training, I see the Lord accomplish these things. It's a well, so Christ's kingdom would increase, and peace would increase. And Lord, these things happen, and they're producing various. Pray for us to see them, a glimpse of the way we work. Just to work in this world, but in the hearts of sinners. That is where this kingdom reigns. Also, be ready that peace may be known. The church here.
We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 72, from the middle of verse 16. Mr. Campbell, would you sing? Psalm 72, from the middle of verse 16. The city shall be flourishing, her citizens abound, in numbers shall, like to the grass that grows upon the ground. His name forever shall endure, last like the sun it shall. Men shall be blessed in him, and blessed all nations shall him call. Now blessed be the Lord our God, the God of Israel, for he alone doth wondrous works in glory that excel. And blessed be his glorious name to all eternity. The whole earth let his glory fill. Amen. So let it be. Psalm 72, from the middle of verse 16. The city shall be flourishing.
Thank you.
Let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.